Triple M's Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Thanks to Carlton Dry, official beer of Origin.
Ooh, didn't we open a can of worms this morning? A big court case is happening in Brisbane about whether a woman can use her dead partner's sperm to have a baby, and we went backwards and forwards on
There's
that one.
So many live swimmers out there, we don't need to go backwards, surely.
Bobby Shrinkman, I'm the Big Breakfast Showbiz reporter, and I was reporting about Michael Jackson's new musical. Ooh, it's as simple as 1, 2, 3.
And we were talking about how to improve the football codes. Get rid of the video ref doing slow-mo stuff.
There's a really big story happening in Brisbane today that has certainly got not only Australia's interest but potentially the world, because a judgment is going to be made, handed down, for a Toowoomba woman who 2 years ago, her partner died tragically. She found him the next morning. We don't know how or why. But within that 24-hour period, she decided that she wanted to be able to have his baby. And you have 24 hours after the death of someone to harvest their sperm and then put it somewhere. So the next morning.
What? Is this true?
This is true.
Yeah, this is true.
So she
in
made.
Toowoomba, this happened.
Yeah, she made the decision. And by 4 a.m. the next morning here in Brisbane, a judge was listening to her case and decided that yes, she could take her dead partner's testes and sperm, and they are now being looked after at an IVF clinic. Where this gets interesting today.
Well, they cut it off, his dead body.
Yes, that's what they're saying in the paper.
And then they've just been in a fridge somewhere.
Yeah.
My God.
At an IVF clinic. But today, the reason why we're talking about it.
Do you have to put that on your license? I want to give me testing.
Stop it.
Maybe. In fact, that actually may be one of the consequences of today's case, because in court today, a decision is being handed down as to whether she can then use that sperm and have her dead partner.
How many years ago?
Two.
No.
Why are you
so vehemently opposed? I think that
she
was in love.
Think of the
she
child. Don't think of her. Think of the child.
What do you mean?
God, the father died. What, even before the child's born, the father died 3 years earlier. The judge needs to save this woman from herself.
Why?
No, look, I think that you can actually, when the child arrives, it can be a very loving story. It doesn't have to be dead testes child.
That's what it'll be called at school.
Okay, no, it
by
won't.
By the Martins
of
this world.
No,
dead
it
nuts.
Won't. Okay, who is ever going to...
dead agates.
Okay. No,
you don't have to even...
Stop
I have to pull
them.
It up there. I have to pull it up.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Now, what I want to say... I'm trying to be serious because I'm a romantic, all right? I'm a romantic.
You just said dead agates. You said dead agates, now you're romantic.
No, give me a run at this.
Give me a go.
This woman obviously really loved this guy, okay?
Yeah.
Her name's Ayla Cresswell.
Yes.
She was in love with a man. She found him dead. Grief-stricken, she has decided that she wanted to have Josh's baby. Now, she has to go through some legal and big ethical hoops here. Did he consent to the, you know, the making of a baby?
And she claims they talked about it a lot. And the other important thing that'll go with your argument, Moon, is that his family are very supportive.
Well, that's a great thing too.
Okay.
And she, obviously, 2 years down the track, still wants to have this child. This man's child. And also, once, you know, you've removed the egg from the man, and I know consent is the big thing here, but he doesn't know. So why not make a child? She is obviously a loving person. I think it can be a happy ending, and it doesn't have to be dead testy's child.
Think of the next person.
Okay, next so let's do this.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Marto is saying you can't have dead man's baby.
And I'm saying you can. It's love.
Very harsh. But let's go. John of Sanford, what do you reckon?
Yeah, just looking at it from sort of talking about a little bit, the IVF angle. If somebody just went to an IVF clinic and got the sperm from an IVF clinic, the person that donated that sperm could be dead for however long they may have been dead for.
That's not a bad call.
This is sort of a different sort of look at it. I mean, and as you guys stated, the family of this dead person is obviously on board. Obviously, they have discussed it because otherwise the family would be against it. That's a sort of... It's an odd one, that's for sure. But, it's certainly not outside the realms of, what can be done.
Hey, I like how you cast your eye over this, John, and given it some thought.
Mm.
rather than just knee-jerking.
Do you get paid? Does anyone know? You get paid money for depositing in a sperm bank anymore? What's the story there?
Yes, you do.
You do?
Yeah.
You do.
They've got to ask you to, though. You just can't lock up there, Marto, and just go,
Kate.
I'm ready to go.
Kate of Umanto, what do you think about this?
I think it should be okay as long as the partner's family says, yes, we'd like to see that child, and as long as they're involved in the kid's life, I think it should be okay.
Well, are they paying money? Is there any indications of that? Are they going to pay for schooling and
She had to prove that she was financially viable to be able to take care of this child independently.
So she can't pin his father, his parents for it.
Okay. She's got to do it all herself.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, once there obviously is so much passion involved in wanting this child, she's going to be prepared to be a great mum.
And Andrew, what do you reckon about this?
No, you can't do that.
Tell us why.
Consent. A dead man can't consent. So we live in the age of consent. When you've got people on the ABC saying that you need consent to change your baby's nappy, it's a bit of a stretch to make an exception for a dead man.
Exactly.
And if you make one exception, where do the exceptions end?
Yeah, that's...
So it's a can of worms.
That's the point of law, isn't it? If there's a precedent, everyone will start doing all these different things that are derivatives.
Except he won't know.
Andrew has just opened his own sub can of worms. He said that if we start changing the definition of the word consent, we're opening a can of worms inside
It's a worm vortex.
We obviously don't have time for that. 100% of people disagreeing you cannot have
a dead man's baby.
You just
can't drag my butt across the carpet.
So it's 99.9.
He disagrees as well. You can't have a dead man's baby. Okay. You just can't. Big Breakfast on Triple M. Our next guest, he actually introduced Jane Fonda to calisthenics in the 70s.
So conceivably he invented aerobics.
He's the one to thank for that video.
Wow.
It's our gossip guru. He's our man with all the Hollywood
goss. It's Bobby Shriekman. Bobby. You still got those leg warmers, Bobby?
Well, it's interesting that Brendo says that because I got me leg warmers and me leotard on. I've just had a workout with me headband, just working out to ONJ's physical. Oh, we've got to get physical.
Bobby,
let me hear your body talk.
Your body talk.
Bobby, just talking about work, though, the Thomas Markle interview, what did you make of it? Did you get a chance to interview him as well or anything?
Well, Thomas and I are both very close. You know, he stayed up at the Alabaster Mansion just before the wedding because he was a little bit depressed. He wasn't invited along. But what a revelation the Thomas Markle sparkle debacle interview was. He revealed he didn't like the Donald. Oh, come on, what's not to like? The crazy hair and the orange skin and the fact that he wants to end the world. But, of course, Harry said he did like the Donald. Oh, bit conservative there, old Harry. But he asked, Thomas said to Harry, when he asked for his hand in marriage, he said, please don't raise your hand to my daughter. Oh, pretty high benchmark, isn't it? Please don't stump me daughter. Oh, come on, Thomas, you can do better than that.
You have a lot of people staying in your mansion, Bobby. Now, Russell Crowe's there right now.
Well, Rusty's staying over because he's just en route back to Australia from Italy. I'll put him on.
Yeah, g'day, Robbo. How are you?
Oh, hey, Russell.
What do you mean up to, Russ?
Well, I was in Italy. We had a staging of Gladiator at the Colosseum in front of a full audience with a complete symphony orchestra, and I introduced it and read a poem that I'd written myself that had nothing to do with anything. What have you been up to? Yeah, anyway, and I've also been running at the Rabbitohs. We're going okay this year. I've got my own football side that I speak motivational talks to the boys. What have you guys been up to?
I cooked dinner last night.
I was just at home.
That's my life, and you guys have got yours. Hey, Brendo, I realise I'm on the phone, but can you light this for me? Thanks, mate. Okay, I'll put you back to Bobby.
Thanks.
Use the ashtray, please, Russell. Don't put it on the big Persian rug over there. You're still crazy New Zealander.
Okay, finally, Bobby, Michael Jackson's life becomes a musical. That should be great.
Put some tracksuit pants on, Russ. No one wants to see that, mate. Yes, that's right. Michael Jackson's finally going to have his life immortalised in a musical? Where do you begin and end? I mean, is it all just going to be the Thriller album, or is it going to be Jackson 5 when he was, you know, a little bit darker than when he died, and he's afro and everything like that? Is it going to have Neverland? Is it going to have Bubbles the Monkey? Just imagine the monkey. I can't wait. It's a Thriller. Thriller all night. Anyway, I'm going to go and hose the tomatoes off.
Okay. Hey, I've been waiting all week to talk about this because on the weekend, two rugby union test matches were ruined by refereeing decisions. Mm-hmm. And there was also, I watched a whole weekend of rugby league, and it's just about time we get rid of the video refs, the television match officials, whatever you want to call them. All the different sports have different names for them. But let's deal with the two football rugby codes at the moment. It's time to stop going to the bunker. The reason rugby league goes to the bunker so much is because it's sponsored by KFC.
Oh,
that's what I've learned from the bunker, and that is 24 nuggets for $10 is amazing value.
We will go to the bunker. In the old days, you used to whinge about the ref occasionally, but we didn't have the momentum of the game. Fans can't celebrate tries properly anymore. Like, a winger goes over with one of the most spectacular tries you'll ever see, and everyone just wants to celebrate and go, oh, my God, that was fabulous, and then just watch the replay, and then the kicker goal gets taken.
Absolutely,
every single
mate.
Try,
why does every try have to go when it's so clear that they can just go, okay, on
my
with the game?
My conspiracy is about KFC. Rugby union, exactly the same.
It's not a conspiracy. It's screamingly obvious that they have paid for it and that every try is going to be KFC sponsored.
But rugby goes to the television match officials. That's what they call their video ref in rugby.
Right.
but they don't have a KFC, so they don't have that conspiracy to go,
and
why
do they do it?
And they do it every try because the referee is so scared that, and because he's being analysed by this television match official who's in his ear the whole game, say, hey, pull it up. That was a bit of a high tackle. The game's being ruined by it. I just want to throw this out and see how this goes for theory. If you believe the momentum of your game and the spirit of your game is being changed by technology, television match officials, try this one for size. Two challenges by each captain per game. Like cricket, if you get it right, you can go, I don't believe that. Either a penalty can be challenged or a try, but you only get two a game. So you as the captain have to make up your mind whether you think it's worthwhile, because in rugby, a penalty, if they have a shot at goal, is worth 3 points. That's a strong deterrent. You go, I don't believe that, ref. I reckon it went another way. Then stop the game and go to the television match official,
Other
the
than
video
that,
ref.
You're saying no. Don't do
and
it.
So, just
don't.
Let the game keep going.
Okay, but can I just, in defence of someone who doesn't know a huge amount of sport and is trying to participate, and I'm a very enthusiastic watcher, being able to stop and watch the replays or going over it, and usually what happens, if it's football, I'll have my sons there going, boys, what happened? Tell me what's going on here. Or if it's rugby league or rugby union, I've got Sean, and he'll say to me, my boyfriend Sean, and he'll go, okay, this is what happened. It actually assists me to understand the game better.
But they should be playing replays anyway, and the commentators should be explaining to nuffies like you.
That's my nuffie job
as a commentator.
But I am trying to be involved. So the video stuff does help me, I will say that.
To me and to everyone else, it slows the game down too much.
Fair
enough. Moon, sorry.
Are you taking the right away from umpires to go to a video ref, so it's only the captains that can make
only the
call?
Only the captains,
After the umpires made their decision.
Back your judgment, and then the captain. It'll help drama too, because the captain's challenging. Whoa! I don't know. Let's ask everyone else, how do we diminish the role of the video referee without ruining the game? We want to speed our games up, but we've got technology there. How do we use it better? Keep the momentum of the game and keep the flavour rather than stopping for the bunker all the time.
Very good question. Nathan from the Gold Coast, what do you reckon?
Mate, I think it's pretty easy. I think we just need to watch replays of tries in fast motion in real time.
Great
call. We'll write down frame by frame, and that's where all the doubt creeps in. A referee's not going to see a fingernail scrape a ball or anything like that. They need to play it in real time. And then we'll be able to get behind the rest.
Nathan, that's brilliant. Ditch the slow-mo.
That is a brilliant suggestion. Yeah, because it's so you're saying if we go to a video ref, he's got to watch it in real time, just like the action that's just been before.
Yeah, absolutely. And even the networks should get behind it as well. They cast a lot of doubt on the referees when they slow something right down. So play it in fast time and we'll be able to get a pretty pretty clear call, I reckon.
Yeah, referees are having their confidence undermined by the fact that they've got this slow-mo technology that they can overrule them. So, therefore, they're always going to go to the bunker. It's, yeah, leave them alone. Wonderful. I love you, Nathan.
Nathan's in the bunker. Matt from Fernie Hills, how do we diminish the power of the video ref?
Yeah, mate, it's been tried and proven in the under-20s. They got two challenges, and what? If the challenge goes with them, they keep their challenge. If it goes against them, they lose their challenge.
They're already doing this. I don't watch. I turn it on, and the under-20s are on. I go, I haven't got that much time in my life. They're already trying this. Does it work?
Oh, it definitely does work. And then on the other instance with the AFL, every single stoppage in play is time out. So instead of letting the ball go off the sideline and wasting a minute or two here and there, they need to stop time, and that way it'll speed the flow of play up. They're not going to try and waste time.
Rugby needs to do that as well. Mm. I know what you mean. That's great. Right. So they've already tried this.
Apparently.
This is wonderful.
It is. It's great. Dom from Jindalee, I'll give you the final say. How do we diminish the power of the video ref, mate?
Well, the first thing that came to mind for me was Marto said that, give the guys or the captains two choices to query the decision. Mm. So I was thinking, well, they've already do that in tennis.
Yeah, that's right. So, and cricket.
Yeah, so why don't they put that in play?
Yeah,
it's give the guys maybe, three decisions and go from there.
We'll work out whatever it is, but if you get it right, like if you're correct and the referee's not, you get to keep that challenge. And I'm
correct.
Happy with that. Yeah, if a captain's that good at spotting things.
It'd be nice to have a game every now and then where they, they tossed to see whether there's a video ref or not. Just imagine going back to the old days, zero video ref.
Yes.
Oh, sweet. Sweet old times.
Wouldn't it be beautiful?
Some logical
And then
people.
Everyone would just hate the referee.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like the old
back
days.
To the old days.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Back page of the Courier Mail. Pack leaders promised to Queensland. There's Dylan Napa saying he won't let us down again. All right?
Okay. Well done, Dylan.
All right.
So he was in a moon boot, hobbling around.
Limping around. Mm. Okay. I'm happy to have him leading our pack, but just have a listen here. I wouldn't like him leading us in any sort of a mathematics competition. Dylan, what do you got to say?
I think I'll play. It feels really good. It's been getting better each 24 hours. If it was up to me, I'd be playing, but, that's why we've got the professionals.
He's just very stupid.
No, now, come on. He didn't say anything in that grab that said he was stupid.
That voice?
You can't do that.
Can't you say that about people?
No, hold on.
This is the bloke. This is the bloke when we asked him, where did you learn how to tackle? Let's not forget.
Well, I do remember shoulder charging my mum, thinking it was my brother coming around the corner once. So I probably have to say, mum, I don't want to say it, but yeah, I shoulder charged my mum once. And that wasn't too good.
No. Now, he is not making a trip to the moon, okay?
No.
He's not working for NASA.
No.
He's trying to get into the state of origin side.
Yeah.
We're interested in whether his ankle is up for it or not.
Okay.
Yeah. Not whether he can do,
talk.
He doesn't need
work
to be
on the
bright.
Hubble telescope.
He just needs to hit people hard.
But if you can't distinguish your mum from your brother, how... All right, no, that's fine.
Don't
mum
go
should
there.
Have had the right
don't
jersey on.
There.
She almost had the wrong jersey on that arm. Let me tell you a story. Let me tell you a story about Kalyn Ponga. This bloke is incredible, okay? I've been watching him. All right, his life. Let me go through this and try to go through it without reading any notes. Okay, born over in Western Australia. They moved. His old man's a Maori, Andre. I think he was on the Rush Hour yesterday briefly.
Was.
Okay, very, very much a Maori. They then moved to Mount Isa for 8 years, and then they went to Mackay when he was about, then they went to Palmerston North. They moved back to New Zealand from 8 until Kalyn Ponga was 13. Then they came to Mackay, okay, and everyone went, what is that kid? Before they left New Zealand, at the age of 13, he won the New Zealand Under 13 Golf Championship.
What?
So he was good at golf.
He was one of those.
He was good at golf. He came back to Mackay, played touch footy, played rugby league, played rugby union, played Aussie rules, okay? Churchy spotted him, the Broncos spotted him and said, hey, come on down to Brisbane. We'll give you a little spot. We'll give you a scholarship.
How old was he?
They pay for your, he was 13 at this stage.
Wow.
All right, so he started Churchy at 14, the boys' school. Yeah. I don't know, it costs about $25,000 a year to send your kid there. So the Broncos were forking out for that.
Wow.
Right. So he was under one of their scholarships.
So he's had an edumacation as well?
That's when I first saw him because my young bloke was a year ahead behind him at school playing rugby, not at Churchy, obviously. and I used to, I watched him once or twice a year and went, what is that? He was in the first 15, if anyone understands first 15, at the age of 15, playing against these huge men, 17, 18-year-olds at the age of 15, and dominating them. In grade 11, Churchy won the first 15 competition with what quite possibly, I've been watching schoolboy rugby, I've coached it for a long time. I reckon it's the best team I've ever seen. The 5'8" for the guy who came and replaced Cooper Cronk, Brody Croft, he was at 5'8". Ponga was at fullback. Ponga is the best schoolboy footballer, rugby footballer I've ever seen. There's
That's
clips.
That's saying something, actually.
You know what I said about porno for schoolboys?
Yeah, yeah.
The clips of him from that season, sidestepping and beating defenders and being incredible.
I think I've actually seen that.
You would have seen it. Been watched something like 600,000 or 700,000 times. It's just extraordinary. For a kid of 15.
Somebody's obviously using it for actual porno then.
No, well, not. No. I'm just saying that's what they like watching going, this kid is amazing. He left school. He left church. In grade 11, he just went, done everything. He's already won a premiership in the first 15. So he went back up north because the Broncos scholarship must have petered out or something. The Cowboys signed him. The Roosters wanted to sign him. The Storm wanted to sign him. The Lions. He was in the Lions Talent Academy at this stage. The Reds wanted to sign him. Mm-hmm. And he finally went, oh, I'll sign with the Cowboys. So his last year at school was spent up in Townsville. Then he started playing for them. And, of course, this year he's at Newcastle. He's 20 years of age, about to play, after 27 games of NRL. About to play Origin. He is the next great thing in rugby league if you're not aware of him anymore.
It sounds like they've also bided their time bringing him on, which I think is really great.
They have. He could have been in this team. He was good enough for Origin at the age of 18. But they've waited and they've waited. And I remember Paul Green didn't bring him into the Cowboys. He made his debut in NRL in a semi-final up in playing on the wing. He's amazing.
Are you his number one fan?
No, everyone's Sounds his it. Number one fan. No, you watch him. He can break a game open like no one else. He's been the most exciting player in the NRL this year, full stop. And I got one little breaking point of news. Yesterday afternoon, Kyle Felt was brought into the Queensland Origin team as cover in case anyone broke down, in case Billy Slater didn't pass, okay? And who should have been? Corey Oates. I guess that's maybe only my belief, but Corey Oates was unbelievable last Friday night. Corey Oates has been sensational, should have been in maybe into the team anyway. It's because Corey Oates went on holidays in New Zealand.
Not another one.
He's done a Darius boy.
I was at Austral one. Volkswagen yesterday and the bloke in the bar, and I was just looking at a car. No, well, I'm not buying a car from there, but I was there and Nigel there told me that he said, don't mention his name. He said he's gone to New Zealand with his girlfriend. So
Nigel
he's gone to New Zealand.
Don't mention my name.
Well, I forgot that bit until after I saw
him. Oh, dear.
So he's gone over to New Zealand having a holiday with the Broncos boy, not realising, and his father-in-law is Gene Miles, the selector, who obviously hasn't told him, hang around, there might be a go to get in the Origin camp.
Isn't it exciting,
the idea of watching Kalyn Ponga out there, and also the idea that if he married Penny Wong, she'd be Penny Wong Ponga.
I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
Hey, Sam in sport just told us that Russia won 3-1 against Egypt.
Did.
That's two big victories. So it's obviously a fun place to be, as evidenced by these Aussie fans. They are having a super time. Right. So they're the young Aussies.
Having a great time.
A lot of cheering.
Yes, that seems to be the drinking.
Glasses.
All right, well, listening, that was the drinking. Listen to some of the eating. This is where it gets a little weird.
Russia has been just full of surprises so far. We weren't sure what to expect when we got here, and here we are eating three different types of horse.
Three different types of horse.
What a meal. Is that entree horse, main horse, and dessert horse?
What kind of horse do you reckon they're serving, Marlo?
I don't know.
The circus horse that was once in the Moscow circus, ridden by a monkey.
Some failed racehorse.
Shetland for dessert.
Oh, don't.
Go Russia.
I would eat an angry little Shetland. They're a rotten little horse. Aggressive. They've bitten so many children. We have been forming a list of names that you can no longer name a child. There's a long list of tarnished names for pretty much the same reason, horrible crimes against humanity. And it was brought around by yesterday's pressure test. Under pressure, we asked somebody to name six singers or bands that start with the letter B. Now, in isolation, that's an easy thing to do. But under the pressure of the pressure test, not so easy.
Name six singers or bands starting with the letter B.
Bob Dylan. Bill Cosby.
Okay, no, let's just check.
Bill Cosby.
No, he did say Bill Cosby.
He did.
Bill Cosby. Really did. Now, we don't even know whether Bill Cosby released a single, and we don't care. Because Bill is no longer a name that you can use to name anybody.
Can you use Rolf?
It was once popular.
Can I check? Can you use Rolf?
No.
I reckon Rolf's gone.
Oh, come on, Ivan.
Ivan's gone.
Ivan's gone. Okay. Because, well, Ivan had a bad start with Ivan the Terrible and then Ivan Milat, of course.
Yeah. Ivan Lendl.
Ivan Lendl.
Oh, you can, but, yeah you we'll can always, if that. You call, yeah. you can Ivan. Change it. Yes. Ivan. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I go the European spelling.
I'm saying that Carl's gone too. I know it's not the whole of humanity, it's just us who.
Stefanovic?
Stefanovic.
Oh. He's done the Carl for
oh.
a while.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I don't know about that.
All right, personal list only.
What about a Hansi?
Hansi Konya.
Hansi's gone.
Who was thinking? Put your hand up if you're thinking about naming your child Hansi.
Well, that's off the list.
Well, it's interesting because those older names are making a comeback. So, but if you take that to heart, like someone, Henry is a very popular name, but if you went back in history, Henry VIII did terrible things to lots of
people.
Maybe
it just had a bit of a trough a for a few years and now it's a bit more popular, yeah.
See, maybe Bills can be Williams and we're okay.
Or Billy. No, yeah,
oh, Billy Slater.
Yeah.
You know, you'd call your child Billy.
No, well, I tell you, it's funny how things come back into popularity. Greg Inglis, I've spoken about this before.
There's some young
Gregs around at preschool these days.
Are there?
Yeah, because Greg...
I'm not certain, but I just think there might be.
It was once a very popular name, wasn't it?
It was 26 popes were called Gregory.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, they, of course they were. Hmm. Gary, there was this news report about 2 years ago saying that Gary was being actually phased out of the English language as a name.
Mm. Is there a Gary's done something wrong?
No, yeah, Gary Glitter.
Oh,
he's just become
Ooh.
He's become rhyming slang now.
Ooh. But how bad does Gary Beers feel? He's got it.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.
Thanks to Carlton Dry, official beer of Origin.